Good evening. Let's go ahead and find our way to our seat as we prepare to sing page 50. Let's all stand as we start the evening service with There's Power in the Blood. All together, here we go. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, on the second time around, we're going to put four powers in the chorus. So there is power, 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 wonder. Okay, so that's one, two, three. If you have to count, then go for it, okay? I know maybe the teenagers have to count just to make sure they get them all in. Here we go, ready? Verse two, here we go, ready? Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Okay, four powers, here we go. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now on the last verse, we're going to do eight. Okay, so it's power, 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 power. Okay, here we go. Ready, here we go. Ready. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power. Here we go. I'm going to count. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Keep up. Here we go. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Good to see you back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask you, as we always do, the Lord to be with us, to be with the speaker. Fill Roy with your power tonight. Speak through him to us. Be with the rest of the singing and the special. And Lord, meet with those still getting here. Get them here safely in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Right, you may stay seated on this one, page 267. I know whom I believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed before his own. Sing it out. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Verse 2. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. Together, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Verse 5. I know not when Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Mentioned this morning that there is some goat cheese and olive oil. Now, if I like cheese, I would. But like I said, I don't eat a lot of cheese. But from what I understand, someone's already tried it, and it's very, very good. If you're a cheese eater, and they're in the fellowship hall also. And again, if you want to thank someone, you can thank the Sharps for that. Also, the Bays brought some rice. I was told Hannah wanted to know if this was any kind of special rice, and I said yes, it's magical rice. And so, huh? What? Yes. It wasn't the Sharps? Oh. Sorry about that, brother. It was our young couple down front here. And so you can thank them, goat cheese and olive oil. And then the Bays brought some rice. And Hannah says, well, thanks, it's special rice. You want to know if it changed colors? And I told her, I don't think so. Miss Bays, it doesn't have any magical powers, does it? No. Okay, so this is just rice. Now, this is special stuff, all right? This came from the goat. Brother Joe asked me this morning, he was smarting off. He said, I'm going to get some goats. And he said, you don't like goat cheese? I said, I don't know. I've never tried it. He said, I'm going to get some goats. I said, I don't care. Get 20 or 30 of them. I don't care. They won't stay in the fence. He'll end up with splattered goat all over McDonald Acosta Highway. So he'll be eating goat regularly until they're all gone or till the coyotes get them. But there is that. And so thank these young folks down front. And the Bays brought rice. And we've sacked it up. They brought a big bucket. So we put it in smaller containers. And yes, we washed our hands and disinfected our hands before we messed with all of it. So if you're wondering, because we are trying to be very careful about that to make sure if you get it, you got to get it someplace else on your own. We're not going to help you. So don't be licking any doorknobs. So don't forget the regular stuff going on this week. Appreciate you being back tonight. We'll be back Wednesday night at 7:30 for prayer and Bible study here at the church. Thursday night, soul winning, 6:45. Friday night, youth activity. Then Saturday, bus visitation at 9:30. Adult soul winning at 10:45. They go out at 11, get back around noon, and then back in our place, Sunday school, 9:45, church at 10:50. Fellows, if you can help us, we still have some spots on the security schedule. I really don't want anyone to have to do two or three times a month because someone else isn't doing it at least once a month. So look in the schedule and see if there's a date that you can get. We have two times on Sunday morning because we have the morning service and then we have the evening service. We didn't used to cover the morning service, but we don't necessarily do it as much for the stealing stuff as we do to protect us from anyone that might come on the property and want to do us harm. So that's the main reason we started, because usually on Sunday morning there's enough people coming in and out because of Sunday school, and those who don't go to church that come in just don't go to Sunday school, come in just for church. There was usually enough activity. We didn't worry about it as much. But now we cover Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So there are three services a week that we have to cover. So if you can help us with that, we'd appreciate it. For those of you that are praying about Max's family, Max's mother went home to heaven this afternoon about 3:30. So if you keep him in prayer, he is having to handle most all of this. And again, this is a big surprise to them. They knew she had cancer. The doctors had told them, very treatable, shouldn't be a problem. We're going to go in and do some stuff first, reduce the tumor, then go in and take the tumor out. They thought they could get it all. But in the last few days, she took a turn the other direction. And yesterday, they was deciding to put her on hospice. Today, she's home to heaven. So it went very quickly. So again, the message I got yesterday was Max's brothers and sisters, and some of you know them. Max has had a lot of sickness in his family. He's had some brothers and sisters already go to heaven years ago. But if you'll pray for them, the rest of the family were not at all. Max was more prepared than they were and left it in the hands of God, but many of them do not feel the same way. So pray for the family. Times like that, it's easier for a person to get bitter. What happens is if we don't think God's fair, we have the tendency to blame life on God. But again, because God makes us free will agents, then some of the stuff that just happens in life is, I mean, that's just life. I mean, life and death are part of the human function, but do pray for the family. Also, don't forget to pray for Brother and Mrs. Nichols. Pray for Dina. She's doing better. Supposed to hopefully be back at school tomorrow. Mrs. Block is recovering from her sinus infection, but she has part of her voice back. If you've talked to her in the last few days on the phone, you realize she can talk sometimes. Sometimes she can't. Natalie gets induced tomorrow morning at what time? Carl's playing with his phone. I'd always rather have my baby at noon than at 6:30. So yeah, that's fine with Dad. Mom doesn't always like the schedule. My wife will still tell you that with one of our children, I had been there. I don't remember which one it was because I was there with all of ours. And I really believe, I'm a big believer that if the wife can go through 9 months of pregnancy, we should be able to go through a few hours of labor. And my wife will still tell you that there's one of them. I was standing there and I asked her in the middle of this thing, are you going to be a little bit, do I have time to run down and get something to eat and come back? And she resented that. She remembers after this day that I was hungry and I just wanted to go get something to eat and come back. But she thought I should have put all food thoughts aside while she's delivering a baby. But it just looked like she was going to drag this thing out for a while. So I was just going to go get a bite to eat and come right back. But she remembers it. It's still, I mean, you know, it still comes up from time to time. Especially if the kids, so don't talk to my wife about the baby, okay, and inducing all that stuff, because if you do, it'll just be like, oh yeah, let me tell you about the time. I mean, you'll hear the story. So, and babe, if you're listening at home tonight, you might want to turn this off for a few seconds. Just joking. All right, Mr. Sales, do we have a microphone somewhere? I don't see him, so I'm hoping he has a microphone somewhere. There he is. Come on in, my man. All right, we didn't get to do this morning, so if you missed out on giving a blessing, and I don't know if I'm wearing you guys out with blessings or not, but again, the folks at home like to hear from some of you. So let's start over in this section first. Anyone over here with a blessing? Anyone over here? Anyone with a blessing? All right, you don't have to go there. Brother Gary's got one there, so there you go.
Just want to thank you for your prayers for my wife. She seems to be doing better with this new medication, increasing it.
Good.
So praise God for that.
All right.
Again, the prayerful church and everything. But, you know, as things turn out, the adult detention center didn't want me. And after the sheriff's program took place and I went through all the FBI checks and everything else, so they made changes. And I'm just letting God work his ways. And I was blessed all week last week and this week with extra income that's, you know, over and above. So I'm blessed.
All right. Just pray for Carl about a job situation. Brother Mitchell in the back.
Yeah, it always turns me on when we start singing about the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Anyone else in this section here? We heard from the back section. Anyone from the front section here? Nobody? All right, over here in this section. We're over here to you now. Ms. Cools?
I don't know why, but the Lord keeps letting me see all these people that have all these health problems and financial problems and everything, and I'm just amazed at the blessings the Lord has given this widow.
Good. Mrs. Taylor, is it quiet around the house without Brother Taylor there? It is. All right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Okay. she is so wise in her years. Anyone else in this section with a blessing? Yeah, well, my wife's gone quiet too, but sometimes that's not a good thing. She came back one time. She said, you had the whole bed, didn't you? Because, I mean, I just spread all my stuff out on her side of the bed. And that was where all my paperwork went. And she said, give me my bed back. And I said, hey, baby, you get out of town. You leave the bed empty. That's what happens. It becomes my bed, not our bed. Anyone else in this section? All right, over here, anyone with a blessing? Yep, hit the Smith family back there.
I'm really thankful for the technology that we can watch the services, even if we're not here because of illness and whatever. I really appreciate all the work they put into it and the Sunday school lessons about the songs. Those have been a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, I appreciate Charlie and Brother Sales, Brother Gloria, and all the folks involved in that. They've been a big blessing through this whole thing. Sean.
The youth activity last Friday was a blessing.
Yeah, Brother Joe said there wasn't very many people from Texas Baptist. We appreciate Texas Baptist loaning us to a gym that night. Hang on, Mr. Sells. He was late, so we have to see if anyone else. I thought maybe Hannah or Sam might have a blessing, so we're just waiting to see if. Okay, they don't. All right, you can go over there to Mr. Adam. Poke, poke.
We got to run both buses this Sunday, so that was a blessing. We had 19 total on one of the buses, and thankful that a lot of the kids were excited to come to church and realize what a blessing it is. Because sometimes you do the bus ride and you're wondering, like, man, do these kids get it? You know, we're putting all this energy into them, and you know, you obviously do it for the Lord, but when you see these little kids get excited about coming to church and learning about God, that's a blessing, and that's kind of motivated me this
sometimes
morning.
They get it more than we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else with a blessing? Yeah, it was a blessing to have. And I think, Brother Mike, did you bring that one young lady in this morning, the visitor? No, I thought she – oh, you did. Ah, okay, because I knew the teenage visitor said she didn't ride the bus, but I didn't know if she was on the van route or what. But It was good to see. We have a teenage visitor. Don't know if she was saved or not. I was waiting to see if she would move. She did not move during the invitation, so we'll just keep praying for and working on her. Anyone else with a blessing? All right, thank you, Mr. Sells. And again, don't forget, I mentioned this morning, we do have some folks down with COVID, so pray with and again, most of you see that on the prayer chain. The reason we haven't put it out from here is they don't really want it out public, and we do have folks that don't go to our church that watch. But again, pray for our folks that are recovering from that. And again, pray for Preacher and Cindy. Preacher had been, and again, he's been trying to get back to all the services, but he had told me the other day that it might still be a little while before he gets his strength back. He came during the revival, but if you notice, by the end of the thing, by Wednesday or Thursday, he was a little slower getting around, so his balance and stuff. So he had put himself out there, but pray that he can get his strength back, because I would love to be able to see him back to all the services. That's his goal. He told me it might still be another week or two or three before he can get back Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, but pray that that happens. Not that Brother Castillo and I and the others don't enjoy preaching, we do, but we miss preachers, so don't forget to pray for him. And again, if you have something going on, sometimes like Mrs. Vaughn, I've tried to call her several times this week and haven't got through to her. If you find out there's someone, especially one of our shut-ins, that are having issues, please let me know. You may think I always know, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Again, it was a blessing to see Mrs. Plumstead and Mrs. Mayo here back this morning. It had been 6 months. They'd been watching us on the I don't know if Mrs. Plumstead had, but I know Mrs. Mayo had been watching the services online and through YouTube or Facebook or something, but I'm not sure about Mrs. Plumstead, but it was good to see them back, and that was a big blessing. So keep each other in prayer daily. We don't ever know what's going on, folks, so don't forget to pray.
All right, we're going to go ahead and stand as we sing Come Thou Fount, page 507. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, posed his precious blood. Sing it on that third, here we go. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Grown to wander, Lord, I feel it, grown to leave the God I love. Hear my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Before we pray, let me just make an announcement for those of you who didn't have an opportunity last Sunday night. The item that we discussed will be out on the table in the foyer. If you didn't get a chance last Sunday night, it'll be out there for a few more Sundays. So if you have an opportunity to go by there, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this opportunity we have to be at your house tonight, Lord, and just so grateful for everything that you give to us, all your protection, your blessings that you give to us, Lord, on a daily basis, and pray that the offering now will help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Page 55, At the Cross, is our final hymn for this evening. 55. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 2, was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 4, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Sing out. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
He was born in a stable, in a borrowed manger. He borrowed a lunch to feed a lot of strangers. He borrowed a colt to ride into town on. He borrowed a tomb, but he wouldn't need it long. And the only thing he bought was me. When he shed his blood on Calvary, now redeemed by his blood for eternity, the only thing he bought was me. On the auction block of sin, this world had turned me down, and Satan had told me, you're nothing but hellbound. You're never gonna win, your soul's forever lost. But Jesus paid it all on that old rugged cross. And the only thing he bought was me. When he shed his blood on Calvary, now redeemed by his blood for eternity, the only thing he bought was me. Forgiven and forgotten. My sins are all gone. I've been bought by the blood of the one who holds it all. And the only thing he bought was me. When he shed his blood on Calvary, now redeemed by his blood for eternity, the only thing he bought was me.
Actually quite a thought, isn't it? The only thing he bought was me. Grab your King James Bibles, follow along, pay attention. Roy's going to come preach to us this evening.
Well, what a blessing to be able to preach this evening. And I'm not going to use the lapel. It was given to me, but I'm not moving anywhere. So I'm just going to be right here. So I don't move too fast right now and move around, but I can stand and I can walk, so it'll be all right. So we're going to look at the Bible in the book of Genesis in chapter 14 this evening. And we'll be reading a few verses here in Genesis in chapter 14. And look with me right there. Here in the book of Genesis in chapter 14, we see Abraham having the opportunity, or Abram at this time, actually going to battle with the kings that had made war with the cities of the plain that the Bible shows us here. And really the only reason Abram got involved particularly was because of his nephew Lot there. And the Bible tells us here in the book of Genesis in chapter 14, and Genesis chapter 14 and verse 12, and it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plains of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobath, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people." I'm going to continue here in just a moment in verse 17. But what we see here starting in verse 17 is it was an important milestone in the life of Abraham he wasn't called Abraham yet, still Abram, but an important milestone in his life. Because here starting in verse 17, the Bible tells us that there were two men, the king of Sodom that came to see him, and the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And the Bible tells us that they both came to see him, and it gives us a great example that's important for each and every one of us and the choices that we might make, whether Sodom or Salem. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, it is to be in church, that we can be here, and that, Lord, you've given us an opportunity again, Lord, that from your word, that Lord, hopefully that we might learn from it, that we might be wise to learn from the example of Abraham, and that in our lives as well, when we're presented with important decisions, that we might make the right decision, the decision that honors you, the decision that helps you, that helps us, and that Lord puts us in a place of blessing, that Lord, that you might use us for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we will thank you for it. In your precious name we ask it now. Amen. Here in the book of Genesis in chapter 14, we start to see probably one of the most important characters that the Bible shows us, especially, yes? Okay, well, we'll pray for her then. Lord, we ask that this time, Lord, that you would please help Anna Lord, concerning the breathing issue, that you give him safety on the way to the hospital, that you might get her some help, Lord, to be to get breathing, Lord, be able to get some help, Lord. And Lord, that you just work on their behalf and help us to remember her and give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. Yes, and to remember her. Here in the book of Genesis in chapter 14, that we are introduced to someone that is very important in the Bible. He is mentioned prominently by Paul the Apostle. I believe Paul the Apostle wrote the book of Hebrews as an important type in the Old Testament of the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Bible tells us here in Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 17, it says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all." That's Abraham gave unto Melchizedek tithes of all. And the Bible says, "And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, and the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." And here it is, the Bible shows us one of the important turning points in the life of Abram concerning choices that each and every one of us make. Now, up until this time, when you look at the Bible in the book of Genesis in chapter 15 and verse 6, that is something that Paul used often, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, that's a very important passage of scripture, but that was not the time of salvation. That was simply a testimony that was being told concerning Abraham and that Abraham did. Well, I believe that Abraham really turned to the worship of the true God, the worship of Jehovah God earlier, that he had already built an altar. He had already known who God was. And the truth of the matter was that it was started to be known wide and around where he was, of who he was and who he stood for. And I believe that is one of the reasons that Melchizedek came in order to put his, if you will, stamp of approval and add credibility to this man, Abraham, and what God was doing unto him. I don't know about you, but I know it when it's me. When I see that God is working in the life of someone or working at some church or working with what, I want to go see what's going on. Amen. I mean, that's just the reality. One of the things that I really enjoy, if I'm ever able to go outside of San Antonio or even here around San Antonio, is to meet others and see what God is doing when God is working, you know, in a church, in the life of a church, or in the life of a pastor. I like to be around that stuff because it's good for me. It's good for me to learn and it's good for me to experience. And it's just good also. Let me say this, though. It is good for them to be able to have that blessing in their life as well, that there are other people that are recognizing that God is being good to this place. God is being good to these people. And we're here because we just want to experience it as well. You know, that's why many times what happens is churches, for instance, if a church is experiencing revival or having a revival with preaching going on, the folks want to go over there and be a part of it. I like doing that. I like going somewhere. If I hear about a revival, somebody maybe that I had not heard before, but I've heard about them, I understand they're just a man, but they are someone that God is blessing, and I like to be a part of that and see what's going on, maybe put an offering in, amen, and be a part of that to see God working in the lives of these people. And what I see this happening as well in the life of Abraham. Here is Abraham just experienced a great victory for the honor and glory of the Lord. That's really what he was seeing. Here are these men that had come against these cities of the plain. And the cities of the plain, they were not good cities. And especially the chief among them, Sodom, was not a good place. And Abraham would have probably not even gotten involved in it, except for that that Lot was there. And as the Bible describes him, as even as a tender relationship that he had with them, as a brother at this time. And Abraham got involved, was able to recover all that was taken by these kings that came against the cities of the plain and brought them back. But here we see a great example of what happens many times in the life of a believer in our present time, that when God moves and when God is giving victory to a person, there's many times that the people of the world, the spirit of the world, will try and come and will try and steal that good thing that's going on in that person's life. You know, I wish I could say that I've never seen this happen. I've never experienced or witnessed it with my own eyes. But the reality, it happens. I've seen it whether in the life of a young person, I've seen in the life of a young family and adults and even older adults, that, man, God starts to bless them. God starts to work on their life, maybe at a job, maybe wherever they are. And I'll tell you, the devil's crowd sees what's going on in the life of that person. And boy, he comes in quick there. And that's about what the king of Sodom was trying to do as well there. He said, hey, you know, Abram, you did a good thing here. We want to show our gratitude towards you. We want to show that we want to have a good relationship with you here on going out, that we don't want you to forget us. We kind of want a fellowship with you. So all this stuff that you were able to recover that was taken from our cities, you go ahead and keep it. Just hold it out. Hold on to it as a token for what we have. You know, that's about what the world tries to do as well, that the world will try and suck you in to them and to their system. World will try and suck you in to what they're doing. And I'll tell you what Abraham wanted to do. He wanted to make sure and get away from that, because he knew if he took all those things that were products of Sodom, that were the spoils of Sodom, that were they were the possessions of Sodom, just like later on, when someone was having some Babylonian garments and some other things that they were holding on to, that there was a curse that was going to be attached to them. Now, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, a little bit of things here and there. And Abraham was a man who was a man of means, even at this time. Abraham had quite a bit. It's not like he was in the poorhouse and he was out of his lack, wanting just to sacrifice these things. He had plenty, but he understood what was going on here. He was at a crossroads of life. And we come to crossroads of our lives as well, where we're presented with the things of the world, or we're presented with sacrifice, or not just sacrificing, but making a choice to follow the Lord. And that was going on here. This was not a salvation choice here, my friend. This was a person that was a worshiper of God. This was someone who knew the Lord, who worshiped Jehovah God. But he was presented with a choice here, that who he would identify himself with. If he took the spoils of Sodom at this time, it was from then on his household, he and everyone around him. A lot of times they would pick those things up and they might look at the bottom, made in Sodom. You know, the products of Sodom. And he decided, I'm not going to be a part of that. And I'm going to extricate myself from all these things. I will separate myself from these things because I want to be a follower of Jehovah God. In the Bible, we see many times that probably one of the greatest examples, or the most clear example of an Old Testament type of the world, is Egypt. And we generally associate it with that, and rightly so. But really one of the first types that we see, especially here in Genesis in chapter 14, as well as some other verses that I'll read in just a moment, is Sodom. Sodom was one of the greatest examples of the pollution of the world and the things that the world has to offer. I want you to look with me real quick, probably just a page over, if not the same page, in Genesis in chapter 13 and verse 13. The Bible says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, up until this time, it's not like there in Sodom was just simply a bad place, like every place is a bad place. You look at any city here in the United States, the larger cities, they're places which can generally be characterized with wickedness, evil, and bad things. It's just the reality of it, right? Amen. Now, but what happened here in Sodom, among all these places, was even more so, in that even among the wickedness that was going on within the land of Canaan, Sodom was even worse. that the Bible says that they were sinners exceedingly. Now, I'm not one who goes on a tangent about numbers and so forth, but I think it's very interesting that here in the book of Numbers, here in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, the number of rebellion is what we see here concerning Sodom, that they were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It was a place that was clearly identified with wickedness. Whatever went on in that place, it was something that was going to be awful, that was bad. It was a place that if you wanted to be involved in bad things, that's where you would go. And when you got involved, you were probably very fortunate if you got out with, you know, with the clothes on your back, because later on we see in the book of Ezekiel that one of the things that they were that judgment and a curse was cast upon them was because of their lack of hospitality. Now, that's not to say what this world likes to do. What happens in this present day in the world that we live in, that the world likes to say the problem with Sodom was not because of their immorality and fornication. It's just because they did not have hospitality. Let me say this, my friend. If you're thinking that the problem with Sodom was just because they didn't know how to take care of visitors, my friend, then you better start to decide you're going to use your head for something more than a hat rack. The problem with Sodom was much deeper than just because they did not know how to take care of visitors. That was just one of the side problems that they had. The Bible made it very clear time and time again, as well as we even understand in our contemporary time, that when we're talking about the place that Sodom is, it was a place that was debauchery. It was a place where sexual immorality was regular fare. And even nowadays that we would call someone a male who is someone who indulges in all sorts of wickedness and immorality, that person is a sodomite. That involves themselves in all sorts of wickedness. Now, the world would like you to think, oh, no, that's not what the problem was. Sodomite was just a temple prostitute. And really, the city of Sodom, their problem was that they were just not hospitable. Oh, no, my friend, they were part of the same thing that goes on, what we associate many times with San Francisco. It's a lot of the same wickedness that we associate with some of the worst debauchery over there on Main Street, where they got a rainbow crosswalk there in San Antonio, things like that. I'm talking about that type of wicked debauchery that goes on, and that's exactly the problem that God called an abomination of what Sodom was, and Abram knew, I do not want to be a part of any of that. And he decided, when he was faced with the riches of Sodom or to be able to pay tithes unto Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he said, I'll take Salem over Sodom. And in our lives as well, we are faced with the time of decision many times as well. Now, not every decision that we are faced with has the same type of weight. We go through all, there are many decisions I've made in my life, and I've made wrong decisions. And frankly, after it was done, I just said, boy, that was a dumb thing to do. Amen. And I just smarted for it maybe for a few days, a few months, a few weeks. And there are some things I had to pay for it for a few years even. Amen. But there are some decisions that we make that are much deeper than that. There are some decisions that we face and the Spirit of God deals with us and shows us that this is no rank and file decision. This is not just a decision that when you make this decision, that it's just going to be some small thing. And later on, if you make the wrong decision, that you're going to say, dummy, I made a wrong decision. No, this is something that very well may affect the course of your life, that will influence you, not maybe just for days, for months, for years, but even it may have its influence in eternity. And my friend, I believe Abraham was facing something just like this. I'm talking to maybe a young person. You've graduated, and now you're faced with the crossroads of life of some decisions that you make. I'm talking to an adult that you're faced with some business decisions that you have in your job and the things that you do, that you get faced with something. You're at the crossroads of your life of some decision to make. Now, it may be some small thing, and I'll tell you, there would be nothing, humanly speaking, that would have really caused Abram to decide, you know, hey, I went to war for these people. I made a lot of investment. I risked my life. I risked the lives of these men that were with me. He should have gotten the spoils of war, humanly speaking. There would have been nothing wrong with that. But Abraham understood something. He said, by making this decision, if I decide to take these possessions from the king of Sodom, if I decide to take these unto myself, this is not just simply a business transaction that I'm dealing with here. This is something that I am going to forge myself to them. I am going to make an affinity with them. I'm going to make a fellowship with them. That he was faced with either choosing using the king of Salem, who is by interpretation, the book of Hebrews, the king of righteousness, or I'm going to choose the king of Sodom and choose what he has to offer. And I'll tell you this, by deciding to follow and to align himself with Melchizedek, not only did he not receive anything, but the Bible says he paid tithes of it. He paid tithes unto him. And my friend, in our lives as well, this thing about the Christian life, serving the Lord, there's many times, frankly, it's not going to just pay us. It will, not only we're working for free, but it's going to cost us something to do it as well. We're going to have to make some trade-offs in order to get the job done for God's honor, God's glory. That does not mean that you're going to be in the poorhouse necessarily. Abraham wasn't in the poorhouse. There have been times in my life that I've been without and I've been with. And I've tried to serve the Lord, try to be faithful to him. I've gone without serving him. And frankly, the blessings, though, have far outshadowed and far outstripped anything what this world ever had to offer. But I had to go through a little bit of things every once in a while as a result, as a direct result of trying to follow the Lord. Amen. We've all been there. But you see, Abram decided that he would not follow the king of Sodom. He would not make an affinity with him, but he would make an affinity with Melchizedek. Now, in the New Testament, Sodom is called out time and time again, and especially even for the judgment that was cast upon it. We see in the book of 2 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 6 that concerning Sodom and the other places, that making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, that it was used as an example of cursing and of judgment, that when you choose the wrong way, that wrong consequences or bad consequences come as well. The Bible talks about it in the book of Jude, in the small book of Jude in the New Testament, Jude chapter 1, and in verse 7, talking about Sodom. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over, the Bible says, to not to a lack of hospitality. Hello, it wasn't a lack of hospitality, my friends, that was the problem. But the Bible tells us, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That God tells us that when we choose wrongly, when we make wrong decisions to identify ourselves, to align ourselves with the devil's crowd, that we will suffer horribly for it. Amen. We will suffer. And you see, time and time again, we see Sodom used as an example of a wrong decision. But we see Melchizedek as an example of a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and his testimony. And my question to you is tonight, will you choose Salem or Sodom? Will you choose Melchizedek or the king of Sodom? And let me give you three ideas and then we'll be done here this evening. Let me say, first of all, that Abram had a tempting proposition. A tempting proposition. In each and every one of our lives, the world will come to us with a tempting proposition over and over and over again. You know, throughout my life, I've had times in my life I knew that I was at a crossroads, that I was given an opportunity, that I understood that the decision that I was making was more than just some light decision. That there's something about the Spirit of God that deals with us and lets us know that this, now you've made many decisions that might have been similar to this, Roy, but this decision you're about to make, it's going to make a big difference. It's going to make a big difference. So you better choose wisely. And the world does that to each and every one of us. There's something about us that the Spirit of God will help us to understand that the gravity of the choice that we make in this area, it's not going to be something that's just going to be some small thing. But it's going to affect us, maybe even all the way into eternity, and of the influence that we have for God. He had a tempting proposition. Let me say, secondly, that the tempting proposition, it was mainly about some temporal possessions. You know, ultimately, the things that the world has to offer are only temporal. Ultimately, that's the best that this world can offer is temporal, is a temporal possession. You know, one day it's all going to burn up. Amen. It's all going to burn up one day. You know, now I'm glad to have a vehicle that runs, that I don't really have to worry about it, honestly, to get in there and to turn the key. I'm pretty confident it's going to start most of the time. And if it doesn't, I know that there's things around, there's resources I have that I can be a part of. But look, I'm old enough now. I've had dealt with enough vehicles in my life. That I know I've had vehicles that I prayed every time that before I put that key in the ignition, because I said, oh, Lord, please just let it start one more time. Please, Lord. And the truth of the matter is, I even had a vehicle. I didn't even bother with the key because it wasn't going to help anyways. In the college, I had an S10. I had a little S10 pickup, and really, I could have gotten it fixed. I just didn't want to spend the money, and I was a little bit stubborn and hard-headed because it was a standard that there was about a couple years that I was just pushing it every time to get it started. I'd pop it into gear, and I always had to be careful that I parked somewhere either flat or I parked somewhere where there was no one around because I was gonna need to get it pushed and start. I was going to push it a little bit and then jump in real fast, pop it into gear, and get it started. But you see, the reality is I've even had times in my life, there's a large part of my life, I rode a via bus a lot of the times, and if I didn't have the change for the via bus, I use my patamobile. Amen. That's what that's a patamobile. Use your patamobile. Mijo, that's what they would say. And they were these feet. That's what I would use. But you see, but what happens in life, we get too carried away that we get sucked into things. And the best thing, and many times that decision is as a result of whether we're going to follow God or we're going to be faithful to the Lord. Are you going to be faithful to the Lord? Or are you going to follow the things of this world? And I'm not saying God will not help us to be able to provide for the things that we need. But I found in not only young people, but even adults a lot of times, that they make an awful trade-off that they're willing to forsake God, forsake the things of God, so they might have something they think a little bit better. It happens, amen? But you see, I found out a long time ago, whether even the best vehicle that you have, it's still the same stuff. It still takes gas. Or if you got a Tesla, I guess it takes a little bit of electricity or whatever. But ultimately, they do the same thing for you, get you to point A to point B. Now, if I can have a little bit of AC in it, I'm happy. If I don't have to worry about every time I turn it on, whether it's going to start or not, I'm happy as well. But ultimately, I'm okay either way. Because if the Lord takes me back to where I'm using my patamobile again, I'll be just fine too. The Lord knows what I need, and the Lord knows how to provide. Good night. Right now, I got more than I know what to handle with most of the time anyways. Amen. That God is good. But you see, the best that the world can give us is temporal possessions. I deal with houses. I deal with construction. Ultimately, whether your house is in the Dominion or whether you're on the west side, my friend, it's all sheetrock and 2x4s. Amen. It's all sheetrock and 2x4s and a little bit of paint. And so having something a little bit nice, I'm happy for it. But I'm happy as long as I got something over my head and I'm out of the sun every once in a while, have a nice place to sleep. And see, Abraham was a man that had some things, but he understood ultimately that to have a little bit more possessions was not worth the affinity that he was going to be making with the world and with the people of this world. Because ultimately, the best that this world can give you is something that is temporal. Temporal. Let me say thirdly that this was a turning point. I've touched on this several times earlier, but this Abraham understood this more than anything, that he was dealing with a turning point in his life. And this turning point was so important that we know later on now he did not know this at the time, but we know because we got a completed Bible. Amen. We got the book of Hebrews that we can see that this man Melchizedek was someone who was a type, who was something who foreshadowed of who the Lord Jesus Christ would be. In that, what Melchizedek was, although he was a great example of who the Lord Jesus Christ was and is even now, he was something which helped further that idea of who Christ would be. You see, even among the Israelite kings, the Israelite kings were king, were either you were a king or you were a priest. You were not both. You didn't join together in that. You were either the political leader or you were a spiritual leader. Those two things were not ever put together except in rare instances. And most of the time, though, that's not how God planned it. God said you got a political ruler and then you have a spiritual leader. But this was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus Christ was both ruler and priest. Are you hearing me? And my friend, because in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ does not only want to be our priest and our advocate. Many times I'm afraid that's what God's people are only looking for. They only want a spiritual go-between, someone that's an advocate for them, and that's all they want Jesus for. But that's not what Jesus is in our lives, my friends. He wants to be both our advocate and our and also our ruler, and to rule our life. And let me tell you this, we will find, just like Abram did, that when we put someone in the place that is worthy, when we put someone in place who is someone who is acceptable, that someone who can help us and bring us the blessing, like the Lord Jesus does, that he can provide not only the spiritual blessing that we need, but also that he can guide us and lead us as our ruler in our life. And that's what he was looking at. That's what Abraham saw in the life of Melchizedek. And that's who Melchizedek was, both the priest and the king. And my friend, in our life as well, that Jesus wants not only to be our priest, our advocate going to us before the Father, but he's looking to be our ruler. Because when we make Jesus not only the ruler of our spiritual life, but we're willing to give him everything earthly that we have, it's all at his disposal, like he was recognizing in Melchizedek by giving him tithes of all that he did, that Jesus is not only worthy of my soul, but he is worthy of my life. And let me tell you this, my friend, in life though, will you choose Sodom or will you choose Salem? Will you choose the king of righteousness, or will you choose the temporal possessions that this world can offer? My heart is grieved tonight. I've seen it too many times in the life of young people, in the life of adults, in the life of young families, that when they face that time from the king of Sodom or the king of Salem, where they had a choice to either trust God with all that they had and to follow God, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they decided to go with the things of this world, and and if they're not suffering yet, they will suffer, yea, and even more so than what Abraham would if he would have turned his back on God. And Abraham got a taste of that later on when he went into Egypt. But my friend, in our lives, we must be wise that when we are faced with that time of decision, those crossroads in our life, to make the right decision and to say, I refuse the things of this world, like Moses did, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But what's that decision? I don't know, but maybe the Spirit of God has dealt with you tonight about some decisions that maybe are lingering in your heart and life even right now. And it's a bigger decision, just like, am I going to go through, if I'm going to choose this or that, and if I make a wrong decision, I'm going to smart for it. No, it's a serious decision. Serious decision. That the Spirit of God is dealing with you about something, it's going to have some serious repercussions from it. You need to be wise about that and decide that I'm going to choose to follow God. I'm going to choose Salem over Sodom. I'm going to choose Melchizedek over the king of Sodom. And my friend, I believe that when you do, you'll find the blessing that Abraham did. Because it seems like here from Genesis in chapter 14, after this happened, that Abraham just went skyrocketed, my friend. This is where we find later on, shortly after that, where the Lord appears to him and gives him a great example of his presence, that when Abraham is in that dream and those divided animals are there, and the Lord shows him that smoking and that burning going through, that God is telling him that I'm making a covenant with you, I'm making a promise with you, you're not going through there, I alone am going through there, that this is a promise that I'm making to you, that it's going to remain throughout eternity, Abraham, to you and your seed. It was after this that Abraham sees great blessing. His possessions will multiply, and God uses him in a mighty way after this. God gives him the promise of the promised seed. It seems like his life just keeps going after this. But see, it was an important decision that he made right here. No one would have faulted him for it. No one would have faulted Abraham for taking those possessions. Hey, he pretty much earned it. See, but Abraham knew there was something special about this decision. He was at a crossroads. He said, I'm not going to choose Sodom. I'm going to choose Salem. And will you choose Sodom or Salem today? Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us, that you'd work in our lives, Lord. If anyone here today, Lord, that hopefully every person here has got that settled, Lord, the matter of salvation. But if they haven't, Lord, that they would get that right here tonight. But maybe, Lord, there's some folks here that they're facing some decisions, Lord. They're at a crossroad of their life. And Lord, they need to make some right decisions. And Lord, hopefully that from the example of Abraham, they'll make some right decisions, that before they become a castaway or before they cause horrible consequences to their family, that they'll decide that they're going to do what's right and they're going to make the right decision, that they might see their life filled with blessing as they follow you. Lord, help us to choose wisely, to choose Salem over Sodom. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In your precious name, amen.